Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Thursday evening service. Sorry, in South Carolina. Let's praise and worship the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
The Lord is a strong tower. glory and honor to the strong name of Jesus. Thank you for what you did on the cross, Lord. I ask that you would bless this service, that your word would go forth boldly. Draw us to you, Lord. May we receive it with gladness. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, if you got your Bibles, you want to turn to Philippians, and we'll go to 3:17. Philippians 3:17. I'm going to back up. 14. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Now I want you to understand it's perfect here. Is not the perfect that is described in most churches. None of us are perfect. This flesh is under the curse. That's why it's going to die. I had an old minister say to me one day, right in front of his wife, said, I'm without sin. I said, really? Can I shake your hand? He said, why? I said, never met a man that wasn't going to die. He said, what do you mean? I said, the wages of sin are death. If you die, it's because you're a sinner. I want you all to think of that a minute. The wages of sin are death. We are all going to die. It proves that we are sinners. And we need the salvation of Jesus Christ. We need the power of his blood to give us eternal life, because we cannot do it ourselves. So when Paul talks about those that are perfect, he is speaking of those who have come through the blood. Those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God, in the love of God. I wanted to take a little time to explain that. All right? We're to mind the same thing. We're to say the same thing. To mind the same thing. And if you get off, God will correct you. You don't need me standing there with a stick or pointing a finger at you. Wives love the finger. They get on their husbands all the time. Try and tell them what they're doing wrong. You know what? God's got a better finger. And women will find out. If they will do their job, that is to serve their husbands as unto the Lord, and serve God, God will work wonders in the husband for both of their sakes. I've seen this so many times over the years. I'm going to tell a story. I probably shouldn't tell it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. My mother, God bless her, she's with the Lord now. She came to the Lord. It was a rough fight. I mean, it was cats and dogs. She used to get so mad at me. She'd call me everything but her son. Because after all, she was a Christian. She was born in America. Everybody born in America was a Christian, as far as she was concerned. But when the truth of the gospel finally hit her, she needed a little help from God to believe that God could even save her. So on the day of her baptism, she was getting ready to walk into the pool. It was raining. It was cloudy. It was terrible overcast. But when the pastor came and she took his hand, a cloud opened up and a beam of light came out of heaven and landed right on the two of them and remained on her the whole time she walked into the pool, was baptized, and followed her out of the pool. And when she came out, it and that was what she needed to give her that hope to hold on to, that yes, God can even save her. Amen. But she had this one little problem. She was perfect and her husband wasn't. And he needed fixing. And of course, she knew all the answers. And it got pretty rough. And one day I said to her, I said, Mom, you love Bud? She said, yeah. I said, why don't you do what the Bible says? Well, I've got to help him. I said, you're not helping him. I said, you keep going the way you are, and one day some little blonde girl is going to meet him, tell him what a handsome dude he is, how wonderful he is, and how great he is, and poor, dumb, stupid Bud, being a man, is going to buy it hook, line, and sinker, and the next thing you know, you're going to be alone. And she got mad at me, ran me off. 3 months later, I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. I got a phone call from my mother. You know what she said? Bud's gone. I said, what happened? Exactly what I told her would happen, happened. They hired us, young little blonde. She started telling Bud how cute he was and how great. And he went off and slept with her. So I said, now are you ready to listen? She said, yeah. She had about 6 months, just her and the Lord. She learned a lot about herself in that 6 months. It's funny what you can learn when you're alone. And as she came out the other end, I said, "Now what do you want?" She said, "I want Bud back." I said, "All right, let's pray." And we prayed, and we didn't even finish praying when the phone rang. It was Bud. "I want to come home." And Bud came home, and she treated him right, and Bud acted right and started working, and they started going to church together. The power of God was at work. Love. You got to love one another. Wives, you got to love your husbands. Husbands, you got to love your wives. And we're not talking filios love, because sometimes, you know, how many people love God? Now, how many people love God all the time? Honestly. See, the truth of the matter is, as long as things are going your way, you love God. As soon as things go wrong, it starts wavering a little bit. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing because, you see, God is showing you that you're not loving Him with agape, with His love. You're loving Him with filios love, the fleshly love. Wives, if you love your husbands with filios, you'll never be able to serve them as unto the Lord. And husbands, if you love your wives with filios, you'll never be able to love them as God has commanded. Because just sometimes they are so tiresome. Amen, Brother Davey. Good preaching. I dare you to keep me, tell me to keep going. Gotta learn to love with that agape love that comes only from God. We gotta love God first, then ourselves with that same love, and then our neighbors. Amen. All right. Brethren, verse 17, we finally got there. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul here is telling others to walk as he walks. He's an example. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now here's the part that's going to get you. He's not talking about people who claim to be non-believers. He's talking about church people. You hear what I'm saying? You know, I've heard it preached. When it says whose God is their belly, he's talking about gluttony. I had a real guilt trip over that for a long time because I like to eat. But that's not what it's talking about. The center of the person is their belly. Your belly button is your center. That's where you were penned up in the womb for a while. Just kidding. Anyway, people whose whole life is centered around how they look to others, their God is their belly. They got to do that 10 hours a week in the gym. They got to run that 3 miles every week, every day. they got to do the yoga. That's one I never figured out yet, Christian yoga. There ain't no such thing. You know, that's like holy prostitutes. Oh, yeah, they called those temple virgins, didn't they? Today they're known as nuns. You just go on and on and on. Where was I? Glory is in their shame. Their shame is they think they're righteous. Let's go back to what I preached a week or two ago. Remember the veil. Remember the veil. When Adam ate of the fruit of the apple, he lost the veil. He lost the veil of righteousness that God had clothed him with, the righteousness of man, and saw that he was naked and was ashamed. So he covered his nakedness with what? Fig leaf. Covered it with a fig leaf, which was of the ground. Didn't get the job done. You see, since Adam's fall, we are naked without the righteousness of man. Jesus came, and as a perfect man, perfectly obedient to God, died on a cross, was resurrected from the dead, and took back that righteousness of Adam. Took it back. And that gave Jesus two cloaks of righteousness. And it is written in the law that if your brother is destitute and has no cloak, and you have two, you're to give him one. Now, Jesus could not give him a cloak of Adam, because that was had to be earned. So he gave us a better cloak. He gave us the cloak of God himself, the righteousness of God. And for a symbol, he showed Adam this cloak by giving a sacrifice, showing what the lamb was going to become, and made clothing from the skin thereof. Now that skin of that lamb that God sacrificed for Adam became the shield for Adam, became a veil for Adam. And when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we step into the veil, which is Christ, and become part of his body. We're hid in him. And therefore, because we're hid in him, we have no shame. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter if you're good looking like Edmund there or ugly like me. Now, wait a minute, we both got a ways to go, don't we? I got a face for radio. It doesn't matter what you look like. It really doesn't. What matters is what's in here. What matters is what's in here. So, their shame, they glory in their shame, in that they think that this righteousness that they put on before others is a good thing. But it really will destroy you. Oh, thank God that I was set free by the power of the blood of Christ, that I didn't have to play those stupid religious games anymore. I could just be stupid me. And those that had the same Christ and knew the same Christ would love me anyway, even though I was stupid. And I could love them right back, even when they were stupid, because I don't love with the love of Philios. Love with the love of God, which is agape. They mind earthly things. You know, I was sitting in my office one day years ago, and the Lord surprised me with a statement. Came out of nowhere. That's the way he does it with me once in a while. Just be sitting there minding my own business. Behaving myself. Not doing anything wrong. And all of a sudden a voice will come out of nowhere with a statement. This voice came out and said, "You're an idolater." Wait a minute. What was that? "You're an idolater. Lord, that's you. I know you're wrong. I gave up Roman Catholicism years ago. I gave up that garbage years ago. I'm no Catholic. I don't pray to no statues." And this is what he said. "That thing you fear is your God. Whatsoever you fear is your God." And all of a sudden, I realized that there were a whole lot of little g-gods out there keeping me from doing what God wanted me to do. You ever feel fear of the bill collector? Comes time to give you a tithe. You got your tithe in one hand and the bill collector in the other. What do you do? What do? You tithe to your God. Whether it be the bill collector or God Almighty. How many fear the IRS? How many fear the police? How many fear what other people have to say about them? How many fear putting "Jesus loves you" on the back of your car because somebody might think you're an idiot? Paul used to go around with just "idiot" on the back, so there was no problem. You see, earthly things, minding earthly things. Is it good to pay your bills? Amen. But if you're tithing, and if you're giving offerings, and that's a whole nother teaching. Tithing doesn't go to the church. Tithes don't go to the church. They go to the minister that feeds you. Your offering is what goes to the church. The Levites received the tithe. The temple received the offering. And the alms is what you give to the poor in secret. You get those three right, and God will bless you mightily. You don't get them right, you're under a curse. And that curse outlined back in Deuteronomy said, "Your curse going in, your curse going out. You're cursed when you go into the church, you're cursed when you come out of the church. But if you get it right, you're blessed when you go in, you're blessed when you come out." Now it's one thing to be cursed going in and blessed coming out, amen. But I want to be blessed going in and out. For our conversation, that is our life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I don't know what I'm going to look like when he comes. I don't care. I don't know what you're going to look like. I don't care. I do know the Bible says I'll know you. So there we will know one another. But we're not going to be the same. We're going to have different bodies. I'm taking too much time here. I could go on for another couple hours. You know, I want to stop right there. I'll do the other later, another time. What song you got for us, ladies? That'll work.
Another cheer. Well, good evening again, everybody. Glad y'all are here. As I was listening to Brother Davey preach, had a couple things run through my mind. The word relationship. We know what that is. We have relationships with all kinds of people. We got friends, we got acquaintances, we got husbands, wives, children, extended family, folks we don't know. What kind of relationship do you have with Jesus? Many of us have friends that we've had since, we go way back. You know, we went to kindergarten together. And you've known that person for a long time. To the point where you could almost know what they're thinking before they even say anything. You've also got relationships with folks that maybe you've just met once or twice. Maybe you know their name. Maybe you only know what they look like, and you just wave hi. And we've got all kinds of relationships in between there. We've got folks at work. We've got folks around town. We've got folks all over. My question is, out of those sort of categories that I've just laid out, where is your relationship with Jesus? Is he just an acquaintance? You just know the name? Just kind of wave? As you're getting to know somebody in a relationship, you take an interest in the things that they do. Right? You want to find out more about them. You want to find out what they like, what they don't like. When you invite them over for dinner, you want to cook something that's pleasing for them. You see something at the store that's on sale and you want to bless them, you pick it up for them. See, we seek out all these things in our daily lives because that sort of relationship with people makes us feel good. It's that philios love. The challenge that each and every one of us has is that agape love, because it's not natural to us. It's that love of God. And if we want to receive it, we got to give it. And if you don't know what it is, you got to find out. Jesus is there. The Lord is at hand. If you want to know Him, if you want to be His friend, seek Him. He ain't turning anybody away. You have to take that time to get alone. Alone with Jesus. We got the Word. We got ministers. We have other folks that can help. You can just help yourself. It's available. If you don't know Jesus as you know your best friend, there's something wrong. Something's broke. Got to turn your life right side up there. When you have a friend in the world, best friend, neighbor, and something goes wrong, you're having trouble figuring something out, you get a flat tire, you get stuck in the ditch, you hurt your leg, need a hand mowing the lawn, you go to your friend, don't you? You go on over to him and say, "Hey man, can you help me out here?" We do that. We do that easily, readily. Second nature. Jesus tells us to go to Him. He's there for us. He will help us. He will see us through. He will keep each and every one of us if we choose Him. If He is in the center of your life, nothing's going to move you. Nothing that comes against you is going to succeed. We've got to change that focus. Each and every one of us, that aspect where we fall short. Brother Dave, you said, "Who does this all the time?" I didn't see any hands. And if we were being honest, we probably shouldn't have seen any hands. But we need to move to a point where every one of our hands is up. Every one of us. Where we have that personal walk with Jesus, that personal relationship, that one where He's our best friend, where we can count on Him. Y'all sing that song, "Cast All Your Cares Upon Him." That's what He's there for. He's got His hand out. Take it. And don't let go.
And the things of the earth. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And what we've been saying here for a long time is he is the way, and his way is the way. And what we sit here learning about each and every service is his ways. And when we read what he preaches at the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, he lived what he taught there. That was not eloquent banter. It was an instruction for how to live. And it wasn't just an instruction for how to live. It was an instruction in what agape is, a love of choice. It's a decision you make. It's an act of your will. And it's necessary that it be that, because it's against how we naturally are. We're naturally selfish. But when you see the word, when somebody has actually stands and doesn't just say the word, he does the word, and you see the dynamic operating there, you see that loving, turning the other cheek, forgiving, preemptively. What does he say? He says, what he teaches the Lord, the disciples how to pray, he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That means something. That means as we forgive, that's how we will be forgiven. As you extend mercy, that's how you're going to receive mercy. As you extend grace, that's how you're going to receive grace. When you see somebody that can stand in that, you see that darkness and hatred flee. They cannot stand. And that's the power and the truth of his word and his way. And it works every time somebody's got the... nerve to stand in it. Because that's his way. That's the way he set it up. He's good. I've only got two other verses to share, and I'm going to call it a night. If I can find the first one. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's really the primary and first act of agape. When you care enough for somebody else that you share the word of God with them. It's really a matter of life and death. And that they get the opportunity to hear how good he is, and how you can be a party of his plan. You can be a partaker in all the provisions he's promised for those who will do his thing and not their own. And then 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's how the body of Christ operates. There are no divisions among us. We all speak the same truth, the same word. There are no divisions. There's no contention. There's no warfare in the body. The body operates together for the good of the whole body. And that's a good thing. Enables the, what is it called, the unseemly, the uncomely part of the body to benefit just as much as the comely and handsome part. If there was, I don't know, somebody's got more of that going on than others. I don't pretend to have any of that going on, but it works out good because it's His way. And we're called to walk in that. And it's all available to us. All we have to do is humble ourselves and do His thing. And His thing is to love and watch evil flee. Proclaim His word, His truth, and watch evil flee. I'm done.
Stop.
Good night, everyone, and may the Lord bless you.